Now, Brother Ted Dillon, who serves as an elder in the high-level congregation, will consider the next part on our symposium, Imitate Jesus, Not the Pharisees, Be Forgiving.
I'd like you to imagine for a moment, in Bible times, being out on the ocean in a boat, and you're cruising along, but you can't enjoy the cruise because you've got this rock. And you're looking at this rock, and somebody comes along, takes that rock, throws it overboard. It's gone. What would you do? You'd be so happy. This is gone. This weight is lifted off of me. In a similar way, the scriptures talk about word pictures that help us to see what Jehovah does with our sins. It's as if he takes them, throws them overboard, and they're gone. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19 says in part, Who is a God like you, passing over transgression of the remnant of an inheritance, and you will throw into the depths of the seas all their sins? Can you imagine that? Micah's words indicate that when Jehovah forgives, he removes our sins permanently. Yes, throughout the scriptures, Jehovah proves himself to be a person who is ready to forgive. Jesus imitated Jehovah's readiness to forgive throughout his ministry. Think about how Jesus treated the Apostle Peter after Peter had denied Jesus three times. On the very day that Jesus was resurrected, as we talked about in yesterday's convention, he took the initiative to help Peter recover spiritually, didn't he? He met with him privately. So can you imagine Peter? We know Peter. He would have got down on his hands and he said, Lord, please forgive me for what I've done. I denied you three times. How can you ever forgive me? But Jesus, in turn, allowed him to express his sorrow, his heartfelt repentance, and then undoubtedly Jesus reassured him of his forgiveness. But later, notice how Jesus reassured Peter even more. At John chapter 21. If you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 21, please. Notice this account starting in verse 15. John 21, verse 15. And it says, When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Probably pointing to these fish that were there. He replied to him, Yes, Lord, you know I have affection for you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. Again he said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He replied, Yes, Lord, you know I have affection for you. He said to him, Shepherd my little sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you have affection for me? Peter became grieved that he asked him the third time, Do you have affection for me? So he said to him, Lord, you are aware of all things. You know that I have affection for you. Jesus said to him, Feed my little sheep. He gave Peter quite a weighty responsibility, didn't he? Jesus made sure that Peter knew he was still useful to him. And just as Peter had denied Jesus three times, Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to confirm his love three times. Isn't that interesting? So we can see that Jesus taught by word and example that we should forgive freely. On the other hand, the Pharisees promoted a narrow view of forgiveness. The Pharisees taught a kind of a three strikes, you're out forgiveness. It's known that they could forgive three times. One, two, three, four. I don't have to forgive anymore. That was very, very unloving. Likely because of that teaching, Peter, remember later, Peter said that he felt generous in beginning, saying, What if, Lord, I forgive up to seven times? See, that's more than twice what the Pharisees would do. What did Jesus say? Not up to seven times, but up to 77 times you should forgive. In effect, he was saying, there is no limit to how much you should forgive. In effect, the Pharisees taught the opposite of love. Now notice that in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. If you turn with there in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, you'll notice again what it talks about in connection with love, but especially verse 5. It says, love does not behave indecently, does not look for its own interest. Notice, it does not become provoked, it does not keep account of the injury. And the footnote of that says, or of the wrongs. So in other words, we're not really to use mathematics when it comes to forgiveness, like the Pharisees did. But instead, we want to imitate Jesus instead. But, you know, admittedly, as imperfect people, even in God's organization, we may struggle to extend forgiveness to others. It's not easy to take the sins that others have done against us, just toss them overboard, is it? Into the vast sea where they're gone. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. You notice it says there, continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely, even if anyone has a cause for complaint against another. Just as Jehovah freely forgave you, you must also do the same. So when there's a basis for it, then we strive to continue to put up with one another and forgive one another freely. It's a free thing to take that rock and throw it over to the side and away. So elders can imitate Jesus by seeking out those who have strayed from the truth. Help them to regain their spiritual balance. Strive to put such ones at ease. Try not to pressure them. Try to avoid the old guilt complex, right? Well, I'll get them to change. Or be feel sorry through the guilt complex. Or shaming them in some way. Instead, be as Jesus was with Peter. Assure them of your love. Consider now the following demonstration, in which two elders make a shepherding call on a sister who has become inactive because of discouragement. So now imagine that the elders have already greeted the sister, thanked her for allowing them to visit, shared maybe some greetings and news from the congregation, and presented her with a copy of the new brochure, Return to Jehovah. Let's listen in.
Gail, would be nice if we could just take the go to page 2 of our brochure and notice the encouraging letter that we get from the governing body. Maybe we'll just consider the first 2 paragraphs there. It says, dear fellow believer, as you know, though, the Bible is largely a book about people. Many were faithful men and women who faced challenges similar to our own. They had feelings like ours. Some were weighed down by troubles and anxiety. Others were deeply hurt by family members or fellow worshipers. And a number were plagued with guilt over their own mistakes. Had such individuals left Jehovah completely? No. Many were like the psalmist who prayed, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Search for your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. Can you relate to those sentiments? So Gail, that's why we're here. Dwayne and I want to know, you know, how are you doing? And is there any way that we can be of assistance to you?
Thank you so much for your concern, brothers. You know, I've really been going through a difficult time lately.
Gail, we can only imagine the pain that you feel, but Jehovah knows, and he wants to help you. Notice in that third paragraph as well, imagine yourself there. Jehovah never forgets his worshipers who stray from the fold. On the contrary, he reaches out to them. That's you, Gail. often doing so through their fellow believers. And so, Gail, that's why both Ray and I are here today. We just want to help you.
So, Gail, please tell us, how are you doing? And, you know, Dwayne and I are all ears.
So imagine that after hearing our sister out, the elders show her the table of contents on page 3 of the brochure. They explain the various parts of the brochure, pointing out which part, 2, 3, or 4, seems to apply best to her situation. They encourage her to read it as soon as possible. So then, whether working matters out with someone who has wronged us personally, or maybe assisting ones who have taken a false step, let all of us continue to imitate Jesus, not the Pharisees, by being forgiving and forgiving freely.